So before I get started, I wanted to make a little announcement. I won't say John was supposed to let me make this announcement during announcements.
I was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. It wasn't on my list, so I forgot.
You may have noticed a couple of these boxes. Our church in the morning, Standing Stone Church, spends quite a bit of time packing Operation Christmas Child boxes. We love it very much. It's a ministry I'm very passionate about. And so I brought 21 boxes to share with you. You're like, why in the world 21? That's an odd number, literally and figuratively. So why did I bring 21? Some might think, well, it's a multiple of 7. And Pastor David's family has 7 people in it. That's not it. Some might think you can't count. That's also true, but that's not why. It's because I wanted to challenge you guys to do 20 boxes, but whatever my challenge is to you, you can always do one more. So that's why I brought 21 boxes. And one of the reasons I really love this ministry is because it puts a present in the hands of a kid who has probably never gotten a present before in their lives. And just a little thing from Operation Christmas Child, one of the things they do when they hand a kid a box is the box is filled with a whole lot of things, like a wow item, like a soccer ball deflated, and a pump. And these are things you can provide. Or a stuffed animal, hairbrushes, school supplies, other little toys. They also receive a letter from you. And it's really nice this year. They've done all the coloring for you. In the past, you had to do all the coloring. This year, they've done all the coloring for you, and you just have to fill in the questions. Also, they receive a copy of what's called The Greatest Journey, and that shares the gospel with them. And they enroll in it. It's like a little class. And every 60 seconds, 21 children, just like our goal, 21 children hear the gospel, 7 enroll in The Greatest Journey, 5 graduate The Greatest Journey, 4 accept Jesus, and 4 commit to pray and share the gospel. So I hope our goal can be to take a box home with us tonight, fill it up, and bring it back. It's not actually due until November, but if you fill up one box and you're like, hey, you know what, maybe I can fill up 2, we can get you another one. And then they'll go out in November, and it'll be a lot of fun. So, and if you want to learn a little bit more about Operation Christmas Child, there's some stuff in the box that stays in the box, but then there's this little handout that's back there with the boxes, and you can take one of those home with you. All right. So as we begin today, we're going to be going through Matthew 19, 13 to 15. I'll just say this, in case you haven't been around a lot or aren't here regularly, I am going through the book of Matthew in its entirety, just straight on through. So if you're like, wow, that's an odd topic to bring up right now, well, it's just where I hit it. We're actually talking about kids today, so very apt that that I brought some shoe boxes for kids. And we'll get to that passage in a moment, but I wanted to let you know a little bit about kids, kind of how I was raised, and kind of how kids think, because today we're going to be pretending, at least up here in our own seats, that we're kids again. We're going to be using our imaginations like a child. Now, when I grew up with many values that wouldn't be considered Christian values. They would be considered worldly values. And these worldly values are things that, even as a Christian, I kind of held on to for quite a long time. Because I absorbed a great deal of what I was taught, and even after I was shown in the Bible that some of these thoughts were not right, I still hung on to them. Because growing up, you're told, just believe what you're told. Just do what you're told. Now, there's something to believing your parents when you're young and not quite old enough to understand why. But kids do ask why a lot. And sometimes we don't want to explain things to them, or maybe we've already explained things to them, and they're still asking why. So we say, because I said so. But, for example, let's say you're sitting at the dinner table. You're having hamburgers, and the kid says, where do hamburgers come from? We say, cows. So the little kid turns on their imagination. And they imagine the cow waking up in the morning, getting dressed, getting in their car, driving to the hamburger factory, making some hamburgers, getting back in their car, going home. Wow, cows are great. They made hamburgers for us today. That's so nice. And then they understand that cows are conscious of the environment because they carpool. Because we live in ranch territory. So they get in the back of the truck. They get shipped off. And then their cousins come back next season. Because they've retired. So that's a kid using their imagination to the answer, hamburgers come from cows. It's not far from the truth. But we don't correct the kid for a few years. Because we don't want to deal with explaining how hamburgers are really made. Because then our kids might not want to eat them anymore. So that's a silly but very real answer that we deal with when it comes to this topic. But what about something more serious, something more hardcore, some more, much more of a thing that the world deals with, like abortion? A little kid hears the word, asks their parents what it is. Now, a pro-choice parent might explain that when a mommy doesn't want to have a baby, she has an abortion, and leaves it at that. The kid doesn't ask questions, but they might use their imagination to see mom go to a store and buy a package of abortion. And using this product that you can buy at a store, she won't have a baby. But as the kid grows older and learns what an abortion is, they have to reconcile what they were taught with what they now know. They learn that an abortion is when the baby already exists but cannot survive outside of the mother. And so because the mother doesn't want the baby, they take it out prematurely. The baby dies. How does the kid cope with that? Well, a little kid might use their imagination. Or they might listen to their parents. It's just a clump of cells. It's not alive anyway. Because to face the truth is hard. A kid might ask that if their mom had had an abortion, well, what if my mom didn't want me? Would I have been aborted? Shouldn't I have more brothers and sisters? Those are emotionally heavy questions that are hard to answer for a kid growing up in that kind of household. So we hide behind half-truths and full-out lies. So what's my point in this illustration, and why in the world am I doing it with kids in the room? Because, according to Jesus, they are the best at handling it. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew 19, we're going to look at this passage. It's just a very short passage in the midst of chapter 19, verses 13 to 15. And we're going to see what happens when children come to Jesus. The children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. So at the beginning of chapter 18, Jesus also declared that it is children who are the greatest in the kingdom of God, and that they are more of an example to adults than we are to them. Children, dare I say, understand the gospel way better than we adults do. Why is that, you might ask? Because they see it better with their minds and their imaginations, and they understand it better because of their youth. As we went through Matthew 16, we actually pieced together the gospel from Matthew 16, which is the good news. And today, we're going to use our childlike faith and our childlike imaginations to work out the gospel message that Jesus gave from Matthew 16 in a childlike way, so that hopefully we can share it with others in an adult-like fashion, or even in a childlike fashion. Disclaimer, since there are kids here today, I'm still not going to pull punches, but I am going to try to keep it PG. Because there are some sections of this where you can get a little more intense than PG, but I'm going to keep it at PG. So here's the gospel message that we came up with from Matthew 16, and a sentence goes like this, and I'll have it actually up at the beginning, but if you'd like to write it down now, you're more than welcome. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again 3 days later. So like a bullet list for the gospel. We can read this as adults and Christians and understand what is being said. The sentence is not what we say to a non-Christian. It'd be kind of weird to just go up to somebody who doesn't know anything about Jesus and say, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again 3 days later. You want in?
Yes.
That would be awesome. So little work, but it usually takes a little more work than that. It's an outline for us to memorize so that when we do share the gospel, we have a starting point. So let's break it down and do it with the mind of a little kid. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, a little kid, maybe Thomas's age, might read the word as, if he's reading it for the first time, Jesus was the Messiah. Where's my... Guess you're going to have to do it, Alex. It's not working for me today. Jesus was the Messiah. So the adult steps in, explains that the Messiah means anointed one, or the one God chose. So it's important to know that Jesus was chosen by God. For what? Well, we'll get there in the midst of this outline, but we can take a moment and explain that of all the people in the whole world, God chose Jesus for a very important job. So then the kid asks, well, who is Jesus? Which gets us to the next bullet point. He is the Son of God. What is the Son of God? So a kid thinks, and they immediately think of a relationship. Because maybe that's what they have with their dad. Maybe a kid plays catch with their dad, or dad walks them to school, dad teaches them how to fix a car. So a kid would think, oh, Jesus got to spend a lot of time with God and got taught a lot of stuff. They are in relationship together. A kid would get this real easy because they would know, hopefully, what it's like to be or have a dad. Now, unfortunately, not every kid grows up with a dad. Not every kid grows up in that kind of family relationship, but hopefully it would be something they can grasp or imagine. We can also add that because Jesus is God's Son, He is God too, because God can never be less than He is. And Jesus is just as much God as the Father is. You can also go into the Trinity and show how God is three persons in one being, but depending on the age of the kid, that might be a little too deep for them. So I'll leave that up to you if you're talking to a kid. If you're talking to an adult, it might be too deep for them too. It's a very tough thing to talk about. So we have Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, born of a virgin. Okay, you say this to a kid, depending on their age, They really have to use their imagination. Perhaps you have to explain what a virgin is. Perhaps you have to explain how babies normally come into being. I did say I'd keep this PG. However you explain it to them, let's look and see how kids explain it. I have a little video to show. This thing does sound, right? It can? Okay, because I have a tiny little video to share with you.
And it's only funny if you can hear the sound.
Yeah, it's only funny if you can hear the sound. This video is of children telling how Jesus was born, but adults acting it out. So we'll see if we can get that up and moving. He forgot my announcement, I forgot to tell him I'm showing the video. We're even.
See if it looks like.
Okay. Press the space bar.
Space bar? Son of God, born of a virgin. Okay, so we've gotten this far.
What's next? Lived a perfect, sinless life. This is where it gets real for the kids. We've had fun so far, kind of working out who God is, who Jesus is, how he was born, and understanding Jesus using our imaginations. But here we come to a part of Jesus that is nothing like us. We can say we are children of God. We can say we were born, not exactly like Jesus, but he was born, we were born. Sinless, though, I could ask any kid in here, I could ask Nerys if she's never done anything wrong. Have you done wrong things, Nerys? Yeah. Ow. Well, she just bonked her head. That was wrong. So not a single kid could say they are perfect. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, we all make mistakes. And kids do too, and they know it. You know what kid never made mistakes? Jesus. Not once, but he did think about it. The Bible says in Hebrews, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Think about this from a kid's perspective. Someone who always does the right thing, never does the wrong thing, has sometimes thought about it, but always ends up doing the right thing. Sounds like Jesus is a superhero. There we go. Jesus as a superhero. That is an illustration from a Christian comics website site. In my search for some of these pictures, I found stuff that is a little less than savory. But this one was like, well, that's Jesus as a superhero, isn't it? And Jesus is the greatest of all heroes because in most stories, in most hero stories, the heroes have a downfall. They have some sort of thing that happens to them that's usually bad. Sometimes it's a bad decision on their part, and they have to make up for it. Not Jesus. He's never done anything wrong. He's never made a mistake. He's never made a bad decision. Heroes don't always save everyone who asks for help. Sometimes Spider-Man's swinging into a danger and people are saying, "Help us, Spider-Man, save us." And he doesn't always save everyone. Jesus does save everyone who asks him to save them. And heroes don't always do the right thing. If you've ever seen a Batman movie, you know that the heroes don't always do the right thing to get to the end result. Jesus always does the right thing to get to the end a good end result. But like most heroes, Jesus does come upon a crisis moment. The moment that makes him a hero in our eyes, that center crisis point of the gospel. Now, Jesus has been around since the beginning of creation and even before. He has been the hero and always will be the hero of humanity for eternity. But there is this crisis moment that shows him being our hero. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's the next picture, Alex.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Explaining this to a kid is really hard. Because we as adults want to avoid showing them death. We want to protect kids from it. We'd say something like, "Oh, Grandma didn't die. She went to live with Jesus." It's not a lie. But an omission of the important fact that it will be a very long time, hopefully, before we see Grandma again. Because she did die, her body died, but she is alive forever with Jesus. So telling a kid that Jesus died is tough. And being truthful about it is tough too. What is the cross? A lot of churches have crosses. There's one right here. We look at it, and usually when a Christian sees a cross or wears a cross, we are joyful, we're happy, and then but if we take some time and think about why it's a symbol for us, we're like, oh right, they used to kill people on crosses a long time ago. So we'd have to explain this to the kids. Sometimes a long time ago, people were killed on crosses. It was painful. It often took a long time to die. The kid might ask, why did Jesus let himself get nailed to a cross? Wasn't he perfect? Wasn't he sinless? So we backpedal to sin and explain that when we sin against God, we separate ourselves from him. And God didn't like that. He does not like being separated from us. God wants us to be with him. But if we sin, that can't happen. So what did he do? He sent his son, his perfect, sinless son, to pay for our sin. The payment for sin is death. And God sent his son to do it. Now this is where the kid's imagination might kick into overdrive. Dad, will you ever send me to die? It's a question kids ask their parents sometime when they get really into the gospel. The answer to that, and there's a lot of reasons, but the answer is no. First and foremost, our sin cannot pay for someone else's. Because of our sin, we can't pay for anyone else's sin. You can't lump sin upon sin and hope it cancels out. And God loved the world so much that he sent his son so that we wouldn't die, but have eternal life. Now, I can say I love God. I love God a lot, and I love people. The Bible says you should love God and love people. And while I love God enough to dedicate my children to him, I when they're born, every single one of my children, I took a moment. The very first thing I did to them is I washed their feet. I washed their feet, and I'm saying, hey, I'm going to serve you like Jesus served us. I'm going to give my life for you, but not like Jesus did. And I'm going to dedicate you to the Lord so that he can use you how he wants to. So I love God that much. I do not love people enough to send my children to die for their sins. Because like I said, they can't. It wouldn't work anyway. And I don't think my kids would freely do it. Jesus freely offered himself. He wanted to save us because, like the Father, he loves us too. And the exciting part is the last part of our gospel message, Jesus rose again 3 days later. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross for our sin, and rose again 3 days later. I do have that text, so we can look at that. And if you wanted to write that down, you can write it down and use it as your outline when you share the gospel with someone. But the neat thing about it is, rose again 3 days later. He died to forgive our sins, but because he was sinless and perfect, death could not hold him. He would not stay dead. He rose from the dead. Now, a kid might imagine a zombie Jesus or something creepy like that. I'm not putting that picture up. I did have someone Google it during my message this morning.
You didn't tell them.
But what he did do is he came back and let people know how they too could have eternal life. Now, a kid hears the story, he grabs it, asks a lot of questions, but when you answer with God's word, they often accept it and love it. Kids have a very easy, childlike faith. They don't have the whole world trying to get them to turn the other way. Though, I would argue that there are a lot of things in America right now that are trying to do that to our children. An adult, on the other hand, we're the stubborn ones. We don't always like letting go of what we thought was true. And I'm in the same boat. Luckily, my kids will never have to dump off years of worldly false teachings to understand what Jesus has done for them. There were things I fought for as true, even though the Bible said they weren't. But when I began to learn was that God's word is true all the time. Every word. I wish I had known and understood as a child, but no one told me, or at least when I was told, I was taken out and shown the world again. The nice thing is this, at least this week, I've gotten to remember what it's like to use my imagination like a child. I got to use my imagination and see Jesus a little different. So why do I share this in a room of possibly a lot of believers? Because we need to remember too. There are so many different ways to share the gospel. And isn't it neat to explore how a kid might view it? We have a few people in here who are involved in children's ministry, and people involved in children's ministry have to think of very creative ways to show that childlike faith to children. But perhaps you are more involved in adult-type ministries. But you might need to take a second and imagine how a child would perceive it, because if you show your adult friend your childlike faith, that might seem like a pretty cool story to them. So take this story with you. Maybe you'll encounter someone, tell them the story of Jesus, because it's a long story with a really easy outline. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again 3 days later. Take that story with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this group. I thank you that we can hear your gospel message. And I pray that we can perceive it as children. In our message from Matthew today, Jesus said, wanted the children to come to him so that he could lay his hands on them and bless them. Their childlike faith was an encouragement. For Jesus and for the other believers and disciples. I pray that we can adopt that same childlike faith and share it with others. And may you be with us in the midst of all. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'll leave you with these words. I bless you with a childlike faith. Now go out and play. You are dismissed.
Moms.